Magnifier, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. In Jesus' name, you may be seated.
Live, if he be for you, who could be against you? Amen. The name above all names. That's right. What's poverty? A name. Yeah. What's sickness? A name. What's fear? A name. What's depression? It's a name. The name above all names. And if the Lord liveth, it changes everything. Glory to God. Well, praise God. If you have your Bibles, you can open them to 1 Samuel 2. We're going to continue what we've been looking at. Amen. I hope you came this morning with an attitude of expectation. I hope you came this morning with an attitude of faith, knowing my Savior's here this morning. He sees my heart. He sees my thoughts. He sees my actions. I would hope that that would propel you to be more loving to the body of Christ, to be more faith-filled when your pastor's ready to preach, to be more excited in expectation. When it comes to worship, to put your feelings in the comfort zone that you have on the shelf, because He's here. Praise God. When we come with that kind of expectation and attitude, oh boy, can the Lord move. Can the Lord move. Last night in Olean, I talked about having an expectation, a big expectation of what God's going to do. And we see in the Word, we're not going to go there today, but we see in the Word that the bigger the expectation that you have, the bigger God will move in your life. Actually, He's waiting for your expectation. Praise God. Some people have such a small expectation. Well, it's just church today. Well, then you're just going to walk out of here and it's going to be just well church today. But the people that come say, wow, God is going to speak to me today. I'm going to grow. I'm going to get something. I'm going to walk out of here better. That turns him on. I'm telling you, that turns him on. Why? Because that's faith. That's faith. Hallelujah. Lord, we bless you today. Thank you for the Word. We're honored to preach the Word this morning. Father, speak through me. May my words not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. Father, hit bullseyes of hearts this morning, Father, where people are at. Direct revelations to them, things they've never heard before, things that will help them grow, things that will cause them to be better in life, to prosper in life, to be more successful and more victorious in life. Holy Ghost, help us today. Father, we'll navigate through your plan this morning to all the areas you want us to hit, Father. Do whatever you want to do. Say whatever you want to say, and we'll obey, Father God. And we'll give you all the praise. We'll give you all the glory for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, 1 Samuel 2 and verse 30, we are on a series about honor and honor towards the local church, and I don't want to get into a big spiel about it again. But you know, it's been a series I've been putting off for years. Really, about 2 years, the Lord started dealing with me to preach about honor. And I put it off because there are some things, and we'll talk about some things today, that can have a direct benefit to my life. And because of that, not wanting to be self-serving, I've left it off. But we've lost some things, and doors could be open to some things that we don't want. And the Lord sternly warned me in a tree stand in Sugar Grove, Pennsylvania, that it was time. And so I'm just going to obey Him and preach the Word. And the Word's our safety net. The Word's our, anytime you're watching someone on TV, you're going to a guest minister's meeting, you hear from your pastor, how do I know he's not leading me into a cult, leading me off the bridge? Well, if it's the Word of God, you can fall into the Word. Hallelujah. So 1 Samuel 2 and verse 30 says, wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me. Now notice what God says. For them that honor me, I will honor. And they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Well, that word honor means to have high respect for, high regard for. And God says, if you'll have high regard and high respect for me, I'll have high regard and high respect for you. Well, I want God's high regard. I want His high regard. I want the honor of God in my life. And so we see it's important that God's looking for honor. Well, He's not just talking about Himself on the throne. Everything, the Word is God. The church is God. The body of Christ is God. So there's so many things that we can show honor to that would include God and the things of God. And it matters because in Mark chapter 6, and I've mentioned it a couple times this morning already, about the people in Mark 6, because they were dishonorable, they lost out in life. And I know for a fact, I know people that are dishonorable and they miss out in life. I know that. I mean, it's one of the reasons that that has propelled me into doing this series, because I just feel like I could have somebody come in here and teach this series, But to me, it just felt like kind of wussing out a little bit. You know, I don't know, just myself. It felt like I could do it and have my pastor come in or have some another minister come in and teach a series on honor. And they'd do a wonderful job, probably a better job than I would do at teaching it. But I thought, man, we're family here. If the dad of the church can't say things to the people and the kids, then what's the point of everything? If you can't trust me, you shouldn't be here anyways. And I would hope that you'd have respect for me, be able to just stand and say, you know what, this is the Bible. This is the Bible. And so that's why we're doing it. But I don't want to see people be heard anymore. And in Mark 6, verse 4, it says, Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, among his own kin, in his own house, verse 5, and he could there do no mighty work, except that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. Well, there was many people that needed more than just that. And the Bible says because of a lack of honor, the plan of God couldn't go forward. And I'll tell you what, I'll put my pride aside, because if I can't just stand up here and say this is the Bible, that's really kind of a prideful thing. I'll put my pride aside to make sure that the plan of God goes forward. If it empties the church out, well then you know, if you leave because of the Word of God, that's a you issue. That's a you issue. I want people that are hungry for the Bible, the whole Bible. The whole Bible and nothing but the Bible. Whatever it says. If the Bible talks about praying in tongues, I want people that are hungry for that. The Bible talks about tithing and giving, I want people that are hungry for that. The Bible talks about honor, I want people that are hungry for those things. And so I don't want to see the plan of God hindered. I understand when the Lord's warning me to do things, and so I'm going to obey Him because I got a family, praise God, and I got people that I love, I want to see them blessed. So we are going to just do a quick take on what we did last week. And remember, last week, this whole series is kind of honor towards the local church. And there's honor in different areas. Honor towards your boss, honor towards your work, honor towards your spouse, honor towards your parents and the children and different things like that. But we're talking about honor towards the local church. And remember, last week, we looked at things of how do you show up? Do you show up casual with an idea of, well, ho-hum, or, you know, or do you understand God's here? If you understand God's here and you understand, see, the local church is how God is doing things in the last days. Ever since Jesus rose and went to heaven, the churches were started. That's how God's doing it. Nothing's changed. Now, I know the world thinks things have changed and people have gone about doing their own plan, but it hasn't changed. I had someone come to the church last night, only a first-time visitor, and he said, I need to know what your take is on the signs and the wonders. I said, what do you mean? Like miracle signs and wonders? He said, yes. I said, they're alive and well. And he said, oh, I'm so glad to hear that. It seems like most places don't talk about it. I said, I know. Where's the expiration date in the Bible? There isn't one. There's not an expiration date with the gathering together and the assembling together and the pastors and churches and things like that. So we're talking about the local church and God's, this is your appointment is what I'm trying to say. This is your appointment with God. And when you have that revelation, that mindset, it causes you to show up different. Causes you to show up with a different act, causes you to be on time, causes you to show up hungry, causes you to show up ready, causes you to show up a certain way. Praise God. And so that's what we talked about last week. We're not going to go over that, but go ahead and get on live stream. And if you don't have a method of getting on live stream, we can probably make you the CD for that. So, but it's important that you see that because you'll be affected if you show up wrong. In Mark 6, they showed up wrong and they missed out. Well, now here's what we're going to get into, and I don't know if it'll be a two-week thing or a one-week thing. I really just hope we get it over with the day, but I don't know if we will, because, you know, we just get to yapping, and you just don't want to keep people here forever. You know, even if I preached till 11:30 today, that would only be 55 minutes. Most college classes are that long. Yeah. World stuff, and, you know, you think about the fourth graders and fifth graders have to sit through classes in math and science. I mean, come on. We can do it. We can do this today. Glory to God. Well, we'll see how far we get. But here's the thing, is you can't talk about the local church in honor without talking about honor towards the pastoral office. And in this series, I'm not going to talk about me, so to speak. Even though most of you, I think everyone here, you'd consider me your pastor. But I'm going to be using examples because you have to understand, I'm a sheep as well. I'm not a sheep here, but I'm a sheep to somebody else. I have a shepherd, and these things I have to practice as well. But there is something lost with people that don't have an honor and an idea and a revelation about the pastoral office in their life, and they're hurt by it. And so I'm not going to talk about myself. I want to go to Romans 11:13 and show you something here. There is something that I will magnify, and there is something that I will puff up. You know, this isn't about exalting Mike Anderson. This isn't about making everybody fall in love with him and thinking he's just so wonderful. That's not what we're talking about here, but I will do what Paul did In Romans 11:13, he said, "For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office." Do you see that there? He didn't say, "I magnify myself as a man." Listen, we know who Mike Anderson is. Look at chapter 6 of that book, or chapter 5, whatever it is. I was a low-down, no-good nobody until I came across Jesus. And so we're not talking about the man, Mike Henderson, but there is a gift on my life, and I do stand in an office of a pastor. I didn't put myself here. I didn't decide to be this. I didn't ask for this. The Lord spoke to me as I was serving in the parking lot with an orange vest on at Jamestown, walking the parking lot. I was telling the Lord, "I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll serve in this parking lot for the rest of my life. I'll be the best parking lot attendant heaven's ever seen." And I was telling him that. And he dropped into my spirit. He said, "You'll pastor someday." And it about knocked me over. I'll tell you. And then my pastor came over. This was months later. My pastor came over and he said, "Pastor Mike, what's God been dealing with you about?" And I was afraid to tell him because I have great honor and respect for my pastor. Great honor and respect for my pastor. And I didn't want to tell him that I thought that I heard that I was going to be a pastor because I didn't think I had any business standing in the same office as he did. So I told him I'm going to be an evangelist. I was lying to him. I said, "I'm going to be an evangelist." I thought that sounded good, get people saved. So we went to Ruby Tuesdays, and he said, "Pastor." Well, he didn't say pastor. He said, "So what's God been dealing with you about?" I said, "Oh, I'm going to be an evangelist. I told you this at home on my couch." He said, "Oh, okay." He just smiled at me. If you know Pastor Mike, we just got that smile. We go back home. We're sitting on the couch getting ready to have dessert. Hits me on the leg like he always does. He says, "So Mike, what's God been dealing with you?" And he got a little more stern, and I knew at that time, stop lying to him. Yeah. I said, "All right. I'm embarrassed to say it. I don't think I belong there. I don't want you to think I deserve this, but I'm telling you what he told me in the parking lot." I said, "He said I was going to pastor someday." And he pointed at me and got stern. He said, "You've heard from God, son." And I'll tell you, the chills came over my body. And I just was like, whoo, confirmation from heaven. Hallelujah. So I didn't ask for this, praise God. Didn't want to do this. But I will magnify that office because I know the importance of the pastoral office to the sheep. It is the most important relationship that you'll have on earth. Is your relationship with your pastor. Your feeder, it is. It's the one of the two relationships the devil will attack the most. The other one will be with your spouse. It's the most important because the pastor is the mouthpiece. The pastor is the covering. You'll see some of these things. But see, I understand what that office can do. Now, I can't do that apart from that gift. So again, don't look at it as, "Oh, he thinks he's something special." Now, you know I don't think I'm anything special, but I know the gift is special. I know the gift is special. And if I don't magnify the gift and talk about the gift the way the Bible says the gift is, then you won't exalt the gift. Then you won't look at the gift as being something important and needful. And then you'll just think, "Well, I can take it or leave it." And then you'll be hurt. So we're just going to go on and talk about these things. Remember, I'm a sheep. And we're not talking, when it comes to honor, we're not talking about drink the Kool-Aid type of stuff. Remember, was it Jim Jones? Had a cult and talked everyone into drinking this Kool-Aid and they all died, right? We're not talking about lording over your life and getting into every detail of your life and, you know, honor's not butt kissing. My love doesn't even say that in church. I did, but I don't know if I'm allowed, but I did. And honor's not, you know, sucking up to the pastor. There's certain ways to be honorable without being this brainwashed robot that's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for sheep to follow the plan of God. Amen. So that's what we're going to look at today. But the first thing we're going to start about honor towards the pastoral office in the body of Christ is, does it really matter? Does it really matter that I have honor? And really all honor is, and you're going to see this in the scripture, is having a revelation or an understanding of who he is. Of what's on his life, of what he has to offer me, what he has to give me, that he's not just ho-hum average Joe, that he's not just some guy that just wears a suit and gets up there and talks to me. That's really what honor comes down to. Let's go to Mark chapter 6, and we're going to look at this. Mark chapter 6 and verse 1. There's so much we can get out of Mark chapter 6, so much we can learn. But you're going to see some things here. Does it really matter? Well, we're going to find out if it does. Does it really matter that I honor my pastor and have honor towards him? Well, if the Bible says it does, we'll find out. Because if the Bible said not to, I wouldn't have you do it or teach you about it. I want you to have what God wants you to have. And he went out, verse 1 from there, and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. When the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, where has this man these things? And what wisdom is that which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is this, now look at this number three. Now we know who he was.
Right.
He had the ability to change their life, didn't he?
Amen.
He did.
Right. Yeah.
But look what they said about him. Is this not the carpenter? The son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. So what did they do? They didn't recognize what Jesus had on his life. I had this happened in this church. I had a gentleman, the Lord spoke up to me loud and clear in my spirit. He said, if he doesn't start looking at you as his pastor, things are going to be lost in his life. And I'm watching it happen as we speak. Gone. Didn't leave because he was offended at me. Just things starting to crumble in his life. And the Lord said specifically to me, if he doesn't start looking at you as his pastor, things are going to be lost. Why? He wouldn't receive anything from me. My gift was null and void in his life. No honor at all. I was just that guy. I was just that guy, that Mike Anderson guy. Hallelujah. That's what they did to Jesus. He's just a carpenter. What can he do for me? Hey, I know his brothers. I know his sisters. And look what Jesus said in verse 4. He said, a prophet is not without honor. So what was the lack of honor? Not recognizing what was on his life.
Right.
Yes, he was the carpenter. Yes, he was the son of Mary and Joseph.
Right.
And the brother of James, Judas, and the sisters were there. Yes, he was that. But there was more on his life than just the natural. Praise God. But they didn't recognize it. And Jesus said that they didn't have honor. And verse 5 said he couldn't do their mighty work. Now that goes right along hand in hand with the gentleman. The Lord says to me, if he don't start looking at you as his pastor, some things are going to be lost. I wanted to do a mighty work in his life. I wanted to pastor him. I can't pastor you if you don't let me pastor you. I'm not going to force myself to pastor you and force myself on you. And so it does matter. If you don't come here with an idea, now again, not the man, the gift, I magnify the office. If you don't come here with a recognition, he's got something on his life that I need. And I'm going to show you that in my first point, that you need it. That's why, you know, I don't care what you call me. I don't give a rip. I've never corrected anyone for calling me pastor or just Mike. I don't care. But I will say something about it. That when you call me just Mike, that's who you get, Mike. When you call me pastor, that initiates the supernatural. I don't care what you call me. It doesn't matter to me. It doesn't affect my life. But see, that's what they did with Jesus. He's just normal. He's just normal. You don't want me to be just like you. And I don't mean that being better than you, but it's like a doctor. I go to a doctor. They got something that I don't. And I'm glad they do. Right? When I go to a mechanic, I don't want them to be like me. Oh God, we'd never get anything done with my car. It's true. You don't want your pastor to be like you. In the sense, now naturally, yeah, I put my pants on the same way you do, and I gotta believe God the same way you do, but there's a gift on my life that's not on your life. Just like you have talents and gifts that are on your life. I don't want my pastor to be just like me and I don't want him to be just Mike Laketic. No, I want Pastor Mike Laketic in my life. If I want Mike Laketic, then I'm just going to get Mike Laketic when I need help. I want the summon. See, when you put that pastor term in there, it's a supernatural thing. And I want to summon that from his life. I don't care about the Mike Laketic because I'm not worried about the man. I'm worried about what's on his life. I want what's on his life. So if you can call me whatever you want. You won't get me to look at you sideways. I won't ever correct you. But I'll tell you what, you're hurting your own self. It's a lack of honor. It's a lack of honor. You know, I see a police officer on the street. I don't go up to him and say, hey, what's up? I say, officer, right. Doctor, somebody, title, so why? Honor.
Yeah.
Honor. But with it comes to the pastor, there's more than just a natural title of honor. There's a supernatural summons. Because Jesus was just normal Joe. But you know, you do whatever you want to. You're not going to get me to expect anything. It's just like we talked about, how do you dress when you come to church? I'm not inspecting people. What they're wearing to church and stuff. And, you know, you need to go home. You don't look like you're ready for church. No, I'll never do that. Just love on you and let God deal with your heart. So you need to get some of these things in your own heart to change. We're not trying to force you to change, but I'm just going to tell you the word and you do what you will with it. Praise God. But they had a lack of revelation of who he was and what he brought to the table. And I'll tell you what, every time I'm in a meeting with my pastor, when I'm talking about church, or I'm talking about meeting with him monthly, or I'm just around him, I'm like, what am I going to get from him today? Because he's got something I don't. Oh, he's got something that I don't, and I need it, and I'm going to get it from him. Glory to God. And that's not demeaning myself. That's just I'm magnifying his office. Praise God. You know, I don't feel bad when I go to the mechanic, and he can fix a car, and I can't. I don't go home crying. Oh, he's better than me. Well, he is in that area, yes. He's got something I don't. Praise God. Well, let's see here. We're going to look at honor towards the pastoral office. We're going to look at four things. I don't know if we'll get to number four today. But number one, honor towards the pastoral office that will help you be honorable towards that office is number one, you need a pastor.
Amen.
You need a pastor. You know I need air?
Yeah.
I don't despise that which I need.
That's good.
I don't fight against that which I need.
Yeah.
I understand that what I need, and so I make sure that what I need is in my life. Say, so I don't know if I really need you, pastor. Well, let's look and see what the Bible says. Matthew 9. Oh, I'm glad the anointing's on here today, because I'll tell you what, it's not the most fun thing to preach in the world. But we're not talking about me, we're talking about the office. Hallelujah. So it makes it easy. Matthew 9 and verse 35, and Jesus. Say, we've heard these before. Well, good. I'm glad you have. Well, you're going to hear again. Jesus went about all the cities and villages teaching. I'm not mad at you when I get bold like that. Just know I'm mad at the devil. Not mad at you. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, I think this is amazing. Here he is blessing the people, helping the people, going about doing good things, but yet he sees the multitude whom he's blessing. He says, I have compassion on them. Why? They were fainted. They were scattered abroad. They were sheep without a shepherd. Notice Jesus said, I can't give them everything that they need. Isn't that amazing? Jesus was there and said, I have compassion because they don't have a shepherd. These people that say, oh, me and Jesus, I had someone tell me, left the church. Said, it's brainwashing people that they need a pastor. I said, well, if that's what you want to call it, fine, but they do need a pastor. It doesn't have to be me. It could be somewhere else. Praise God. I don't know where God's called you to go, but where he's called you to go, go and be faithful. But he says they were moved with compassion, or he was moved with compassion. One translation says he was moved with pity. And one translation says because they were dejected, harassed, and bewildered. Sheep without a shepherd. You need a shepherd. Now, whether or not you want to yield to that and submit to that, if you enjoy being faint, if you enjoy being scattered, if you enjoy being dejected, harassed, and bewildered in life, then you don't need one. But I'd prefer not to live that way. That's just my opinion. I'd just rather not. Praise God. So I understand I need my man of God. I need him. It's not a question of, well, should I or I don't know. No, I need him in my life. Because if not, the Bible's true. The Bible's true. And it'll come to, that will come to pass in my life. Now go with me to Ephesians 4 and verse 11. Praise God. Actually, we might get there because you know what? I skipped my number two point. I already preached it today. Didn't even know I did that. Just went off, found the Holy Ghost. That's why I can't stand taking notes. Most of the time I don't take notes because I'm not a teacher. That's not my gifting. Sometimes we'll teach some things, but my gifting's preaching, and I'd rather just go off the Bible. Praise God. But anyways, Ephesians 4 and verse 11. See, you need pastor. You need one. You don't despise that which you need, but when you have a recognition of that you need, see, you make it a point to eat food every day. And to have it in your life. Why? Because you need it. Water. You make it a point to drink things every day. Why? Because you need it. You need it. It's important. Ephesians 4 and verse 11. And he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Now there's a lot of gifts there. Five of them. But the one you'll have the most close relationship out of all of them, the majority of your life, which is the pastor's office. All those other gifts are travelers that do things and stop in from here and there. But look what it says in verse 12. The reason he gave those was not to be a drudgery to you, not to be annoying to you, for the perfecting of the saints. Do you see that there? For the. He gave those gifts for the. So can I say it this way? You can't be perfected in life without that. It's the truth. You can't. You can try to do it on your own. You can struggle and fight against it and try to do it on your own, but you can't be perfected until you submit to those gifts. That's why I stress go to these special meetings.
Yeah.
I don't care if you don't like going to another church. I don't care if you don't like the people there. I don't care if it's a far drive. I don't care. If you don't want to be perfected, stay home. I don't stand in the office of a prophet. I don't stand in the office of evangelist, teacher, or an apostle. But these other ministers, Dr. Webb and Reverend Greer and the Durants and Dr. Dufresne and Pastor Nancy Dufresne and all these people that come in, they stand in all those offices. And if you don't want to yield yourself to them, you're just saying to God, I'm not interested in being perfected. That's bold, I know. But it's the truth. Because he said, for the perfecting, those gifts. So if you don't submit to those gifts, I'm sorry, I don't stand in that office. Say, well, I know, it makes people mad. Why would you get mad? Why would you fight against the Bible? Why fight it? Why get mad at God for trying to help you? Yeah. The dumbest reasons people stay out of church. I want to smack them right in the head. Wake the heck up. Do you know what you're doing to your life? I don't know how many times I've been in a service with a gifting that's above mine in the sense of, now in the local church, there's no higher gifting than the pastor. Even when the prophet or the apostle comes in, they have to submit to the pastoral office. The pastor's the head of the church. But in the body of Christ, they have other gifts. The apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, and the teacher. I don't know how many times I've been in a service and heard them hit something that somebody's been going through, and I'll look around and see, are they here? Nope, they're not here. Well, I wonder why they're not perfected. Because they didn't submit. They're not doing it God's way. You know what? And what's amazing to me, and we're talking like 3 or 4 times a year, we have these guest ministers come in for maybe 3-4 nights at a time. I mean, come on. It's worth it. It's worth it to get perfected. I know. Sometimes you feel like you're beating a dead horse, but I'm trying to put some life back into it or something, you know, giving it CPR. Praise God. That's right. The perfecting of the saints. I want to be perfected in life. Perfection means nothing lacking. Financially, physically, relationship, in my mind, my emotions. You can't be fully perfected until you have these, and the pastor is one of those gifts. And then it goes on, it says, for the work of the ministry. See, my job is not to do the work of the ministry. My job is to train you to do the work of the ministry. So you could say it this way, if you don't submit to those gifts, the body of Christ and the plan of God goes undone. Because once you're trained and perfected, you can be sent out to do things for God. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Hallelujah. So, I'm sorry to tell you, but you need a pastor. You need one. It's needful in your life. Praise God. Well, my number two point to help you be more honorable is that you look at your pastor, he's not just an average Joe. He's got something else. We already talked about that point, so we're going to skip that. He's not, my pastor, myself, is not just the guy that grew up in Forestville that you know, got in, mixed up in the drugs and the drinking and things and lived a wild life. And he's not just the average guy who's got these personality traits in him. No, he's Pastor Michael Laketic, who's got an anointing from God on his life. He's been sent to my life specifically to bless me, to perfect me, to make sure I'm not dejected, harassed, and bewildered, and faint and scattered. That's what we're all going to be after Thursday is fattered, right? We're all going to be fattered next week. Praise God. I'm going to be, I don't know about you. Amen. He's not like me. He's got something on his life that I need. Glory to God. Number three, are you ready for this one? Are you aware? Maybe you're not. Are you aware that the pastor is a gift, a present from God Almighty to you? Amen. Yeah, let's look at it. Ephesians 4 and verse 8. Actually, before we go there, Heather, would you go to James 1 and verse 17? Would you all say God's important? Amen. Don't you take special care? Maybe you have someone in your life, maybe it was like a grandma or a great-grandma or somebody that meant a lot to you. I know that when my pastor has given me gifts before, it means a lot to me. Not so much maybe necessarily at first what the gift was, but the fact that it came from him. Well, who's more important than God? Nobody. So God gives gifts. Well, let's look at James 1:17 real quick. So God gives you a gift. Look what it says. Every good gift and perfect gift is from above. So the Bible says God gives good and perfect gifts. Now, when it comes to the pastor, it means your pastor's perfect. But the idea of what the pastor is to do in your life is a perfect gift. Not the man himself. That's not what it means. But every good and perfect gift is from above. So God gives good things. Well, let's look at Ephesians 4 and verse 8. Hallelujah. Are you happy this morning? Amen. Honor towards the pastoral office. You need a pastor. He's not just an average Joe.
Amen.
Ephesians 4 and verse 8. Before you just get ticked off at me and leave your place of supply, let's have a talk. Before you get mad and say, you know, I don't know how I can deal with that. I'll be sweet on the phone to you in person, but let's have a talk and figure this stuff out. Ephesians 4 and verse 8. Now, are you ready for this?
Amen.
Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, Jesus, he led captivity captive and gave gifts or presents unto men. You see that there? Well, then it goes on and it says, verse 9, now that he ascended, what is it? But that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth, talking about Jesus. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above of all heavens, and that he might fulfill all things. And then verse 11, it tells us, and he gave. And he gave. Now remember in verse 8, it says, he gave gifts unto men, unto people. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. You see, when you don't submit to those gifts, see, people don't understand what's on my pastor's life. The pastor's office is the least of his gifts. The apostle and the prophet are what he stands in, and the gifting that's on that man's life, naturally you'll never understand it. You can't understand those things naturally. This church is not here without the faithfulness of that man. All the family churches are not here without the faithfulness of that man. The Word of God that you hear this morning are not here and you're not getting without the faithfulness of that man.
Amen.
It's true. Yeah. It's true. And people don't understand the gift that's on his life, and that gift has attracted other gifts and has brought these gifts into these churches. You don't understand the caliber of ministers that we get around here. We are so spoiled at Family Church. We have the cream of the crop in the body of Christ. Keeps us safe from wrong teaching and error and doctrinal wrongs and following the Holy Ghost. Follow people like Brother Hagin, Dr. Summerall. We're close to these people. And so when you don't submit to these people, that these ministry gifts, and when they have these special meetings 3-4 times a year in Jamestown and Fredonia, here whenever we have them, what are you doing with that gift? You're rejecting a gift that God has given you. And God would only give you a gift to better your life. You're saying, I don't want that gift. It's true. Now let me ask you this. In honoring, when you're aware of that gift, how do you treat the gift that God's given you? How would it make you feel to give somebody something so wonderful and so important, so needful for their life? And you watch them as they walk away and you see them just kind of chuck it in the corner. I remember I told this story. Former Mormon guy, Troy, I used to be able to imitate his laugh. Oh my gosh, it would make you pee your pants this morning if I did it. But I can't remember how to do it. And he was just the character at Rhema. And I went and took out a Dillard's credit card because I wanted to have it. I had someone bless me with suits, but the suits they blessed me before I went to Rhema, if I'd have known better, I wouldn't have wore those things. He did it to probably be a joke to me. But I had to wear suits there and stuff, and I wanted to get a nicer, newer, modern suit, and I went and took out a credit card at Dillard's. Bought that suit, which was stupid to do, and wore that one time, and the Lord said, that suit you have on, that belongs to Troy, give it to him. I said, no! I got to pay interest on this thing. First of all, this is the only really good modern suit I have. He said, that belongs to Troy, give it to him. I'm not a fight against you, so I did. Gave it to Troy, and it seemed like he cared. I mean, the way the kid dressed, you'd think he was just saving his life. But anyways, he just didn't seem to care much about it. And I didn't see him wear it for, I think a couple months went by, actually. And we sometimes alternated rides to church, and rides to the school, and he picked me up one morning. And I get in, and he's got the suit pants on. I'm like, oh, hallelujah, finally he's wearing my suit that I want back. And he's wearing it. And I'm like wondering, okay, he must maybe has a coat in the back. And we get out of the car and I see him getting ready to shut the door and he's not even putting the suit coat on. I'm like, what's he doing? Not wearing the suit coat. And I see it. It's on the ground, on his floor with a footprint on it. And I thought, that hurt me. I ended up laughing about it later because that's just the kind of dude this guy was. But isn't that what people do to God's gifts all the time? trample them underfoot. God sends these wonderful ministers to us. It's too hard for me to get up and go somewhere. You know what? I don't really like the way that church is. Those people there. I'm just telling you the way it is. It's true. The stupid things that keep people from hearing from heaven. But we're talking about the pastoral office. Let me show you something in John 13:20. John 13:20. You can email my pastor and you can ask him, is Pastor Mike a hypocrite or is he a doer of this? And he will tell you, Pastor Mike is one of my most honorable sons that he has. What do you mean by son? Well, spiritual sons. Timothy was a spiritual son. And he'll tell you, every time we meet a minister and he introduces me to him, he says, Pastor Mike's one of the most honorable sons I have. Every time. Because I endeavor to be honorable to him. Because I know what he means to my life. I know what he's done for me and what he's brought me out of and what he's helped me with and the lengths that he'll go to for me. But look what it says in John 13:20. Now, did the Bible just say that God gave you gifts? Did it just say that God gave you a pastor? It sure did, didn't it? Well, let's look at this. John 13:20. It says, this is Jesus talking, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receives whomsoever I send. Now, didn't the Bible say Jesus gave gifts unto men? Yeah. So the Bible says now, whomsoever I send receives me. And he that receives me receives him that sent me. So Jesus is saying, if you'll receive somebody that I send, you're receiving them as if it's me being there. What's the Bible telling you? That those gifts that God's given in your life, you ought to receive them the way you'd receive Jesus. That's what it's saying. That's why when we have guest ministers in these other churches, we want to send them out with a good offering. We want to be honorable. Why? Jesus sent them there. It's as if Jesus Christ was here. And I'm here. I'm just going to say this boldly. When your pastor gets up in the anointing of the Word and the Spirit and preaches a message on Sunday, it's as good as Jesus Christ being here. But how do you receive that? How do you receive that gift? So I'm going to help you here. I'm going to give you some things. Do you pray for your gift? The Bible says in Acts 12 that people didn't pray for their man of God, and Herod took James out, didn't he? And then they prayed for Peter, and he was safe. Now, I'm not going to go back over that. Go on the archives. You'll see a couple sermons on there praying for your pastor. Do you pray for your gift? Do you lift him up before God? Praise the Lord. Are you ready for number two?
Amen.
Do you talk against your gift?
Come on.
Do you talk against your gift? Let's see what God's idea is about talking against your man of God. Go with me to Numbers chapter 12 and verse 1. Do you badmouth your pastor? Now again, I'm not talking about moral failure. I get into stealing money and doing wrong things. That ought to be talked about and discussed and be told. I'm talking about gossip. I don't like the way he does that. Oh, I don't like this. I don't like that. Well, I'm sorry. God didn't tell you to run the show. I'm not coming into your house or your business. I don't like how you're doing things. It's not my business. It's not your business to have an opinion. Oh! Ouch! Ouch! Zinger! Whew. It's not your place to have an opinion here. It isn't. I don't like the songs he does. It's not your opinion. Doesn't matter what you think. I'm just telling you how it is. I don't like what he does in the children's church in the ages. It's not your place to have an opinion. Go start your own church. Do it how you want. I'm just trying to get through people's heads because the culture in the American church is to trample the pastor, have the pastor be run by a bunch of people, have the pastor do everything, and it's backwards. And so we're not going to have it here. I'm the overseer. I'm the shepherd. It's my way or the highway here. I know it's hard to swallow sometimes. But you know the stuff that tastes the best for you isn't always the best, or the stuff that tastes the best isn't always the best for you. Ho-hos really taste good going down. Broccoli don't taste so good going down to me, but it's better for me than a ho-ho. Telling you that you don't have opinion, it'll help you. And don't you even come up to me and say, God told me you should do this. I'm going to stop you right there. Don't you throw the God clause in there. If God told you, then God will tell me. People do that, they use that against me. Well, God told me this for you to do this. No, he didn't, because he would tell me I'm the overseer. He's not speaking to you about my church.
Amen.
Don't do that. If God speaks to you about me, praise about your about the church and stuff, about you, to you about the church and things, He'll speak to me about it. Absolutely. He'll speak to me about it. Praise God. Now, I'm not talking about people saying God spoke to you personally about your own life. And so I'm saying about how to run things at the church. Things like that is what I'm talking about. Of course, God will speak to you about your life and things that you're supposed to do. And you should communicate that with your pastor. But Numbers 12, let me get there. I got off into my mean tangent. I got spiritually mean there for a second. What a mean guy he is. I mean, it's backwards. You go into someone's house and start telling them how to run their kids. You're lucky to liable to leave there with a black eye. Go into someone's business. Oh, I don't like your price. I don't like what you're doing. Well, then leave.
Yeah. Amen.
Good. Numbers 12 and verse 1. I love all of you so much. I do. I mean that. Numbers 12 and verse 1. And Miriam and Aaron spoke. And notice this. Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses. Do you see that?
Yeah.
Who was their man of God at the time? Moses. Because of the Ethiopian woman who he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. None of their business. And they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? See, now they're starting to question. Oh, really? Really, Moses is the mouthpiece of God here? Really? Is Pastor Mike that important? Do I really need him that much? I mean, God can tell me the same things that he tells Pastor Mike about my life. That's what they were doing. Now they're starting to question their man of God. Yeah. It says, has he not also spoken to us? Saying, we can do this on our own. And look at, the Lord heard it. The Lord heard it. Let's see what the Lord said. Now, the man, Moses, was very meek above all the men which are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spoke suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam. He said, come out, you three, unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And the three came out. And the Lord came down in a pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam. He's about to have a chit-chat with Aaron and Miriam. And they both came forth and he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and speak unto him unto a dream. Lord's saying, if there's a prophet among you, the way I'm going to speak to him is in a vision and in a dream. But look what he says in verse 7. My servant Moses is not so. What's he saying? I do it different with him. Who is faithful in all my house. He said, with him I will speak mouth to mouth. Even apparently, and not in dark speeches, and in the similitude of the Lord shall he behold, or the glory of the Lord, the form of the Lord. Wherefore then were you not afraid? He says, why weren't you then, knowing what I do with Moses, knowing what I do with this man, how are you not terrified to speak against him? He said, wherefore then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? How were you not shaken in your boots to raise your voice against the man of God who's leading you into things? In verse 9, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. You look at David and Saul. Saul was God's man, even though he wasn't acting it out. He was a good king at first and went bad, went rogue. David never lifted his voice against Saul. Even when Saul was throwing spears at David, trying to kill him, David served him and never even spoke a wrong thing against him. See, I'm even giving you permission. If I start getting into wrong things and wrong living and wrong teaching, you better start speaking up. But just to be a gossiper, to be someone I just don't like, and to get your big fat opinion in the way, and your nosiness, and you're just talking, you're just one of these people that can't shut up. Gossiper, a busybody, running your mouth all the time. The Bible says there's wisdom in being quiet. Because you open your mouth and you make yourself known as a fool, the Bible says. A lot of people just need to not talk, and then we'd never know how dumb you are. Yeah. I wasn't even trying to be funny. But it was, because it's true. I'm serious. Somebody says, yap, 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 yap. It gets you into trouble. Gets you into trouble. And they were mad. God was mad for speaking against their man of God. I'll just say this. You say, you're brainwashing. My pastor's never asked me to do anything unreasonable. My pastor's never told me to drink the Kool-Aid. We're not talking about that stuff. But he has saved my life. He has saved my family. I wouldn't have churches without him. I wouldn't have kids without him. I wouldn't have my health without him. And so you're darn right I'm going to speak highly about him. And I have no problem about it doing it. No problem at all. I have a great honor for him. Praise God. I shudder at the idea of saying one wrong thing against him. And here's the thing. You'll be tested by the weakness of your leaders. If you think I'm perfect and going to do everything right, then you're wrong and you better go get this all fixed. I don't think my pastor's perfect either. He's still a man. There's still things that he maybe does in his church that I wouldn't do in my church. But you know what? It's not my business. It's not my opinions to pray for him. My opinions to support him. I had to learn that real well when my best friend became my pastor. Pastor Tim Salmon, since fourth grade, I'll tell you the story sometime, but he stabbed me with a knife on the playground in fourth grade because I was trying to stick up for some girls that he was calling basketball heads. I'll tell you the story. I got the scar on my head. And it was in the summertime, and then the first week of school, I went up to him and said, "Here's a kid that stabbed me this summer." He said, "I am." And I said, "Let's go play basketball after school." He said, "Okay." And we were best friends ever since, and then I became his associate. He became my pastor. He became my boss. I'll tell you what, I had to learn honor real quick. He did so many things. Now, he's a better pastor than I'll ever think of being. And he just runs his church so wonderfully and have such a good things going on there. But there was things there that when I was working, I thought, man, I don't think I'd do it that way. Not my place. My place is to support his vision. My place is to hold him up, praise God. And I shudder at thinking of speaking a wrong word against my pastor. I shudder to even, because I know what God's opinion is on it. See, David had every natural right to speak against Saul, to do something negative against Saul, because Saul was a bad king, and he never did anything, and God said, "David's a man after my own heart." He was so honorable to Saul, and Saul was, I'm not throwing spears at you. I'm trying to take the spears from you and get the spears away from your life. Praise God. And I just think, speaking against my pastor, I'd never do it. Never do it. Ever. Ever, ever, ever. So, do you pray for your gift? How do you treat your gift? Do you talk against your gift? And we're going to close with this one. We're going to have to pick up next week. Don't miss next week, because next week is going to be one of my hardest ones to ever preach. But the blessing that will come for you will be the reason that I'll preach it. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Hebrews 13 and verse 17. I don't have time to get through today, and I'm not going to rush through it. Hebrews 13 and verse 17, and we'll close with this. See, what we're trying to teach you is how to be honorable towards the things of God. So you can be honorable. I'm not looking for butt kissers. I'm not looking for people to suck up to me and you know, everything in your life that I say you have to do. My goodness, no way. That's not what we're trying. But I do want you to be honorable towards the things of God. I do want you to show up knowing he's got a gift on his life and that I'm ready to receive and he's going to help me. Because that'll help you, praise God. Amen. Hebrews 13 and verse 17. Are you ready for this?
Amen.
Number four. Are you a joy to your pastor? Let me just say, there's a whole lot of people that aren't joys to their pastors. It's true. Hebrews 13 and verse 17. Obey them. Oh, that's a dirty word. That's like a cuss word right there. Obey. Obey them that have rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give account. The Bible says you ought to obey the ones that have authority over you. Just so you know, spiritually, I have authority over you. Spiritually. No, not naturally, and in your kids and your family. But spiritually, I do. And the Bible says you ought to obey me. Obey me in what? Spiritual matters. Let's get it right. Let's not jump in a ditch and think, oh my God, he's going to pull out the Kool-Aid next week. He showed up with a big pouch of Capri Suns. Once he got in those things, we're in trouble. No, obey spiritually.
Amen.
Spiritual matters. You wouldn't believe the meetings I've had with people and direct them and told them what the word is, and they do the exact opposite.
Yeah.
Well, why? They don't have a respect and a regard. See, I'm only going to lead you in what the word says to do. I'm not going to tell you what I think. I don't know anything apart from the word. But here's what I want to get to. It says, obey them that have rule over you. Now, this is what the Bible says. And submit yourselves. That is a dirty word too. Submit. Who likes to do that? For they watch for your souls as they must give an account. Now notice this, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable to you. I'm going to read it in the NIV. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you. You have no idea what your pastor has saved your rear from. And I have no idea what my pastor has saved my rear from. God will wake him up in the middle of the night for telling about a problem that's coming down the road for me, and he'll pray that thing out, and the problem will be avoided.
Amen.
God's woke me up with people, with faces and situations on my heart, and spoke to me. And you'll never know those things. The pastor watches over your souls. But anyways, because they keep watch over you as those that must give an account. Now notice this, do this, obey and submit, so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would not be a benefit to you. I am amazed at why people want to make life a living hell for their pastor. Always complaining. Always the Debbie Downer. Always coming to service, just dumping their problems on him. Never coming with an attitude of joy. Never coming with an attitude of excitement. Never encouraging the pastor. Good word today, pastor. The word was good. Always something bad. I'm amazed. Listen to what it says in the Amplified. Obey your spiritual leaders and submit to them, continually recognizing, there's that honor, having a recognition, their authority over you, for they are constantly keeping watch over your souls and guarding your spiritual welfare. As men who will have to render account of their trust, do your part to let them do this with gladness and not with sighing and groaning, for that would not be profitable to you either. And I'm just going to be honest with you. There's been times with people, it hadn't been a smile, it's been a, I got to see them again. Oh, they're here again today? I'm just telling you the truth. It's quiet in here. It's quiet in here. Praise God. I want to be somebody that people don't run from when I come through the door. I have people like that in my life that if I never see them again, I'm just going to tell you the truth. I'm going to tell you who they are. If I never see their face again, it would be too soon. Oh! Oh, don't you have those people too? You know you do. We're not mentioning them. But I have people. Why? They've just made your life hell. They've just, every time it's just trouble. After just want to just weigh you down all the time. You have those people in your life. I don't want to be that way to somebody. Can you imagine being that to somebody else? I mean, I feel bad for those people. They don't even know it. But they come through the door and want to run. Go hide, pretend that I'm sick or something, and I'm upstairs sleeping or something, you know. And I don't want to be that way. And see, when I'm around my pastor, I want to be somebody, because you don't understand when you're in this business, the majority of it's bad stuff that you hear. Now it's an honor to do this and it's a joy, but the majority of things that you're hearing all the time are problems and stuff. And thank God that's what God's graced me to do. But I'm talking about being a joy, being an encourager, being a supporter, being somebody that is. You know, there's certain people, man, and even there's certain people that are such a joy, yet they still have as many problems as everybody else. But they're thankful for their help. Yeah. You'd be amazed at the people you help, and you don't even wonder if they even care. Yeah. So it's not about, okay, well, that means I can't, because I want to make sure to clarify something before we close. This does not mean you don't reach out to me when you're going through something. That does not bring me down. Yeah. That does not bring me down. What brings me down is the ones that are the grumps all the time. Always criticizing everything all the time. Never having a good thing to say. Pulling teeth to get people to do anything. That's what we're talking. Not people that have problems. Gosh, that's what the pastor's for, is to help you with your problems. So don't you get that in your mind. That I can't reach out to him, I can't call him, I can't shoot him a text message when I'm going. No, I want that to be a help to you. But I want you to listen to me. And I want you to do what you're told. And I want you to have a little bit of joy and be thankful, please. Yeah. Praise God. I know, it seems like basic stuff to talk about, but I'm amazed at times. But the Bible says that your job is to make my job joyful. Amen. You can ruin my joy, the Bible says. Hallelujah. Well, I don't have time to go to number four. We went long enough. But I will say this about point number four. And I'll tell you, you ought to just come back just because of the curiosity of number four. Amen. Yeah. And to watch me squeamishly try to preach it. Because it's the main thing that the Lord dealt with me about honor. And the scriptures that he said, if you'll believe my whole Bible, if you preach the whole word, because he said, do you believe my word, Pastor Mike? Latrice, I said, yes. I said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Romans 1:16, I said, I preach it from the front to the back. I've told you that. He said, then why don't you, and he started naming scriptures. Why don't you, and all the scriptures that he named to me that day had to do with what we're going to talk about next week. Now here's the thing though. What you're going to learn next week is what's been so hurtful to me that I haven't preached to you because of the blessing that you've been missing out on by not knowing what number four is. So next week, we're going to know. I'm not going to tell you today. You might already have an idea. But we're going to talk about it. And we're going to preach the Bible. And we're going to be clear about it. And we're going to show you what it is. And you're going to get blessed. So I'm going to make you wait another week. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we love you this morning. Thank you for their patience, Lord. Went longer than I ever want to go. But Lord, we can honor you more than we can honor school and more than we can honor a TV. Most TV shows are an hour. We can honor you more than that, Father. We love you. We just praise you. We magnify you. Father, we're thankful. We're thankful for the gifts that you've given us. Lord, I don't know where I'd be without the gift that you've given me and my pastor. You know, Lord, it wasn't a church name and it wasn't a building that changed my life. It was when I got connected to a man of God. It's when everything changed, when everything began to start to turn around. Lord, I'm so thankful. Father, bless him mightily, Father. Bless his family. Bless his ministry. Bless his churches. Bless him financially. Bless him physically. Father, I pray that he is just overwhelmed and overtaken with blessings just on account of what he's done for me. Father, I thank you for those gifts. You're so kind to give us gifts, shepherds to lead us, Father. Thank you for them. We bless you this morning. Father, we love you. We're just so thankful for Jesus. So thankful for all that he's done for us and all that he's given to us. With heads bowed and eyes closed, ask yourself this question. If you hear my voice, whether it's by computer, a CD in the future, or in this building, if today were your last day on planet Earth, where would you go? I'll tell you what, I want to know the answer to that in my own life, because it's a reality of what will happen someday. If your answer isn't, I know for sure I'd go to heaven, that's a sign that you need Jesus. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you've asked him into your heart, you don't have to do it again. You say, Pastor, I sinned and I messed up. Well, then just ask him to forgive you. He didn't take your salvation away. But if you're here today and you can say, I don't know if I'd go to heaven. Well, the Bible says if you call on the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. If you call on the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. So if you want to receive Jesus, we won't embarrass you. We won't have you come to the front. We won't have you stand up or say anything on your own. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you want to receive Jesus, would you just lift your hand in the air if you've never done it before? Just lift your hand in there. Don't be shy. I see that hand. You can put it down. Thank you. See, we're not trying to embarrass anybody. That's between you and God, and I'm the only one that saw it. Praise God. Anybody else want to receive Jesus here today that had never has? Father, we had one hand, and there might be more hands listening by live stream or in the future. And so, Father, you said there's a step to take. Once we believe, now we just have to confess it. Now, if you raise your hand, don't worry. You're not going to say anything on your own. You're not going to have to think up anything on your own. We're going to all pray with you. Nobody knows it was you that raised your hand. This isn't about pointing you out or singling you out. But if you raised your hand and you want to receive Jesus this morning, just go ahead and repeat this prayer after me. And if I could ask the whole church to pray with this person. Everybody say this. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I believe you rose again from the dead. And I ask you to come into my heart. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Isn't that amazing? Somebody can get born again talking about what we talk. The Word. The Word can do things. Amazing. I remember preaching services. I remember one guy came, brand new. We preached on tongues the whole time. And the whole time my head's thinking, oh boy. And he raised his hand at the end of the salvation call. Because it's the Word.
Yeah.
The Word, amen. So praise God. Thank you all for coming out. Be careful out in that parking lot. No Wednesday night service. We'll see you back here next Sunday at 10 o'clock. You're dismissed.